going to be tonight in Deuteronomy chapter 1. So if you turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 1, and just remain seated when we read our text tonight. I know I play musical chairs sometimes with you, but we're going to be in 1 through 18. So I'm going to read all 18 verses, and then that way when we go back through the passage, we won't look at all of the verses when we're studying back through it. So we're going to do our best to try to get an overview of the book this evening, but then also the passage that we're going to be talking about tonight. So take a look at verse 1 with me and just follow along. We'll read all the way to verse 18 tonight. These be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel on this side Jordan in the wilderness, in the plain over against the Red Sea, between Paran and Tophel, and Laban and Hezroth and Dizahab. There are 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way Mount Seir unto Kadesh Barnea. And it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, in the first day of the month, that Moses spake unto the children of Israel according to all that the Lord had given him in commandment unto them. So here's what's happening. For those of you who maybe are sort of new to the studies that we have been doing, we're just going through the books of the Old Testament. We started in Genesis when I got here 9 years ago. So we're actually, for 9 years, we're not very far. We've only made it to Deuteronomy. We've taken our time in some of that process, but we found ourselves finishing last time the great book of Numbers, now moving into Deuteronomy, and here's what's happening. Moses is giving the law again to Israel as a reminder as they enter into the land. And what a brilliant thing to do, just to remind Israel of the law of God, the laws of God, to help them navigate as they enter into the promised land. So that's what's happening here. He's giving them the commandment, but it's not anything new that they didn't already have or know of. He's giving it to them again. I don't want to get too much ahead of myself, but by the way, that's what we do every time we show up at church. I'm not giving you anything that you haven't already either read or know about or probably heard. But boy, we preach it with thunder, don't we?
Yes, sir.
Because it's God's word, it's timeless, and it's amazing how it speaks to us afresh. Well, that's what's happening. Moses just took opportunity to preach a bunch of sermons to Israel, by the way, who needed it. So he's giving them again the law. Verse 4. And this is where we get into it. After he had slain Sihon, the king of the Amorites, which dwelled in Heshbon, and Og, and the king of Bashan, which dwelt on Ashtaroth in Edrei. On this side Jordan, in the land of Moab, began Moses to declare this law, saying, The Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, Ye have dwelt long enough in this mount. Turn you and take your journey and go to the mount of the Amorites and unto all the places nigh thereunto in the plain, in the hills and in the vale and in the south, and by the seaside in the land of the Canaanites and unto Lebanon, unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after them. And I spake unto you at that time, saying, I am not able to bear you myself. This is Moses speaking. And the Lord your God hath multiplied you, and behold, ye are this day as the stars of heaven for multitude. By the way, that's what God promised he would do, right? That God would multiply, and they are truly multiplied. There's many, many, many thousands of Israelites, even into the millions. And it's hard for him to be the leader that he needs to be. So verse 11, the Lord God of your fathers make you 1,000 times so many more as ye are, and bless you as he hath promised you. How can I myself alone bear your cumbrance and your burden and your strife? Take you wise men in understanding and know and known among your tribes, and I will make them rulers over you. And ye answered me and said, The thing which thou hast spoken is good for us to do. So I took the chief of your tribes, wise men and known, and made them heads over you, captains over thousands, and captains over hundreds, and captains over fifties, and captains over tens, and officers among your tribes. And I charge your judges, note verse 16, I charge your judges at that time, saying, hear the causes between your brethren, and judge righteously between every man and his brother, and the stranger that is with him. Ye shall not, note verse 17, very important verse, ye shall not respect persons in judgment, but ye shall hear the small as well as the great. Ye shall not be afraid of their faith, or rather, you shall not be afraid of the face of man. For the judgment is God's. And the cause that is too hard for you, bring that unto me, and I will hear it. And I commanded you at that time all the things which ye should do. So tonight, Moses is reminding Israel of the great message, the commandments, as they get ready to enter into the promised land. And that will be partly what we'll be doing as well, being reminded of the great truths and promises of God as we desire to enter into the promised land of living for God too. So that'll be an exciting part of our studies through the book of Deuteronomy. Specifically tonight, to open the book, we're going to give a title to the message and to cover these verses that we've talked about tonight, or we've just read. The title is this, Hard Things Cannot Stop Us. Now, I want you to note the first part of that statement, or the first part of our title. Hard things cannot stop us when or if we are on the same page. Hard things cannot stop us when and if we're on the same page. Here's what Moses wants to do. He wants Israel to go into the promised land of victory and triumph. And the only way they're going to be able to do that is if they're all on the same page. And if they do that, nothing's going to stop them. Because they have God. That's what we need. So let's ask God for His help tonight. Father, I pray Your blessings on the message. Help us to not only be on the same page, but to be on Your page. Guide us in the way we should go. Help us to trust You as we take the steps of faith in this journey. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, we do need to be on the same page. That's not a surprising statement. The other day, I guess it would have been last night, we were watching Elisa and Violet, and they were over the house, and so we had a good time with them, and we had finished supper, and we were washing up some dishes, and so Melissa and I were standing in the kitchen, and Violet came walking in, and she has a way about her. I love hanging out with Violet. She has a way of just kind of walking in and just knowing that she actually is in charge of everybody in this room. The moment she walks in. No question about it. I mean, you should never question that. So she just walked in and she's just like, matter of fact about everything. Stood in front of the pantry door and said, nobody is allowed to go inside the pantry. Nobody. Except kids. And then she said, and adults. I said, well, I think that I've got it. So if you're an elf, a gremlin, or some kind of a troll, then you're not allowed to go into the pantry. But everybody else, kids and adults, you can go into the pantry. Got it, you know. Violet and I were on the same page, I think. We were definitely on the same page there. Deuteronomy here is about Israel heading into the promised land. They had been in bondage for centuries. Now remember, they had that oppression over them for many hundreds of years. God, through miraculous means, and the hand of the leadership of Moses, the hand of God brought a miraculous deliverance out of the land of Egypt. So an amazing testimony of God's deliverance as God brought them out. Then they go to the brink of the promised land. God sends the spies. And 10 spies come back and say, we can't go into the land because there's giants there. And caused the nation of Israel to doubt the power and the hand of God delivering them into the land. And so they spent the next 40 years wandering in the wilderness. We get to the end and that whole generation dying and their children then are the ones who are going to get to go into the promised land. And that's where we are as we pick up in the book of Deuteronomy. They're about to enter into the land. Moses is sort of like the final one. This is the final chapter before Moses passes away. And then through the leadership of Joshua, which will be the next book that we study, and the leadership of Caleb, Israel enters into the promised land, and it's conquer, and it's victory, and it's the blessings of God that flow into them. But before they do that, they have to be on the same page about things. They have to be. And so Moses wrote the book of Deuteronomy to get people back on God's page, to give them the law of God to get again, to give them the message, the sermons that they needed to hear. Aren't you glad for sermons that you needed to hear? You ever come to the end of the day or the end of the sermon and thought this? Mercy, I needed that. Well, that's where Israel is here. Everything that Moses is about to say is something that Israel needs to hear, whether they want to hear it or not. That might be a different story, and that can be testified of you and me too. But they needed to hear this. It's the law of God given to them again. And so in short, they needed to get on the same page. Now I want you to see something here again. Verse number 3, it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, the first day of the month, Moses spake unto the children of Israel according to all that the Lord had given him in commandment. So this isn't a message that Moses made up. It isn't Moses stepping up on his soapbox. It isn't Moses just airing out some of his frustrations. I would encourage you to watch what's that pastor video we watched the other day? The honest preacher. Write that down in your little notepad, and when you get home, look it up and watch it. It's epic. It's super funny. So the pastor gets up and he's unbridled tongue. He just says everything that he's thinking he shouldn't say, but he said it. Just really funny. Of course, it's a joke. So, but then I watch a couple of videos where there were some pastors who wasn't a joke, and they started blowing people up in church, calling out people by name. Wake up, walked out, walked back there and says, why'd you even come to church tonight? I mean, getting in faces, I'm like, mercy. I mean, he's letting them have it. That's not what's happening in this book of Deuteronomy. Moses isn't getting in the face of Israel and letting them have it because he's frustrated about what they do or don't do. Here's what he wants them to have. He wants them to have the law of God again. And yeah, he's passionate about it, but he wants them to be on the same page, because if they're going to have victory when they go into the promised land, they better be on the same page or they're not going to have that victory. Unity is necessary. And to have that kind of unity, you have to have the truth. You have to have somebody who will declare the truth so that we all know the truth, so that we can all follow the truth and be on the same page with the truth. The message came from God. It didn't come from Moses. Note that in verse 3. Jump down to verse 5. On this side Jordan in the land of Moab began Moses to declare this law. So they're about, again, to enter into the promised land. Moses has the message. He's going to declare the message, and it's God's message. They had been in the wilderness, but remember back in Genesis 12 when God spoke to Abraham and gave him the promise of the land. You go into the land, I'll give you the land, you'll possess the land. Well, this is a fulfillment of that promise. Look at verse 8. Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. Abraham, remember Genesis 12:1. Isaac and Jacob, remember God promising and assuring and reassuring and giving validation in each one of these men's ministry in life. And note the last phrase, to give unto them and to their seed after them. And so we can see there that God had made the promise, and God, when God makes a promise, he keeps his promises, doesn't he? You know, God doesn't promise, watch, note this, Romans chapter 8, verse, I think 28, don't quote me on the exact reference, but God doesn't say that everything in your life, when you pray and you live for God, will turn out good. But God will make, listen, God will make things into good. God can use things and make good come from those things, can't he? And so God, when he makes a promise, he follows through with his promise, and we can have that confidence. Israel is now entering into the promised land, God fulfilling his promise. They would continue to be blessed. And so now Moses needed to rehearse, remind, as they get ready to hear more of the law and more of the reminders and more of the things that they would need, the tools that they would need to navigate into the promised land, that they would need to have leaders over them who would help delegate to bring justice to situations, because the vastness of the nation, there were so many, they had multiplied, there had been so many of them, they needed this kind of leadership over them. And so Moses brought that up again. Look at verse 9. I spake unto you at that time, saying, I am not able to bear you myself alone. Now this is something he's rehearsing again that had happened earlier on in ministry, where Moses had set up leadership to take on responsibilities because Moses couldn't offer oversight to every aspect of the nation. His eyes weren't able to see far enough to deal with every dynamic. The nation had grown so much. So there were those that were set up, appointed leaders who were set up to deal with these kinds of issues. So there was military leaders, there were commanders, there were officials, there were judges. There were all these that were put in place and given strict instructions to do things justly. Now I want you to see that. Look at verse number 16. Let's skip down to verse 16. And I charge your judges at that time, saying, here's how they should litigate things. Here are the causes between your brethren, and judge righteously between every man and his brother, and the stranger that is with him. So Moses points out that there is a tendency with man to not do things justly or rightly, but to maybe have favoritism, or to maybe have an agenda that sometimes would be put in place. And then we would litigate and we would judge and we would navigate through things because we want to squeeze in our little agenda from time to time. Moses says, when we are leaders and leading the way God wants us to lead, there's a standard that supersedes all or any agenda that you and I might have, or any leader of Israel might have, and it was God. God would be the one who would set that standard. He's the one who would help us to understand the difference between what's right and wrong. God is the lawmaker. That's how we know what's right and wrong in the first place, because God created the law. Without God's law, who's to say what's right and wrong? And so righteously here is how they should judge. Verse 17, note this, very important verse. I mentioned it earlier. It's again very important. Ye shall not respect persons in judgment, but ye shall hear the small as well as the great. Ye shall not be afraid of the face of men. We'll come back to that phrase in a minute, but note this phrase. For the judgment is God's. The judgment is God's. That's why they could have confidence. That's why they could take a stand and not back away from it, no matter who followed them, no matter who was mad at them, no matter who didn't like it or did like it. These aren't the things that determine what we do and what we don't do, because people like it, because people don't like it, because it's popular, because it's not popular, because it gets a crowd, because it doesn't get a crowd. This isn't why we do or what we don't do. This is why we do what we do and not do what we don't do. God is the one who sets the standard. We just operate and roll out things according to how God has delegated and determined that we do it. And so that's why they could move forward with confidence. Isn't that a blessing? Yeah. That you could move forward in life with confidence if you're making decisions and moving forward with God as your standard of operation. I mean, when you go to work, Brother Steve, you have the manuals and the operating system has manuals. And so when you do things according to the manual and the standard that has been determined by the company long time before you got there, and you do things with diligence according to the standard that has already been laid down, then you can do these things with confidence. But you're in trouble when you get away from the manual and you start thinking you can do it a new and better way. Now you're going to blow the plant up and we're all going to die or something. So don't do that. Israel were to be committed to God's law. And if they did that all together, then they would know that they could have confidence that they would stay together against any opposing force, because they had God. That's a powerful truth. We often waver though, don't we? I'm talking about you and me. I'm talking about us individually. We waver. We go back and forth. We're like a pancake. We're up, one down. We're up. You know, all the analogies. What side of the bed you wake up on, you know? The two-faced thing, you know, we waffle, we flip. One day we're in a good mood, another day we're in a bad mood. That's our tendency. We have a tendency to be like that. I mentioned Violet. She was a wealth of great things the other night. I'm so glad you came over last night to hang out. So we're having dinner, and we made these burritos, which is an awesome. You know, we had a good dinner last night, right? So I'll go in there to get another burrito, and I got all my stuff in there, but the sour cream was on the table, so I had to get everything in the burrito that I wanted in there, which for me, it's never enough burrito. There's more in the, you know, get you get it, right? You can't close the burrito. So anyway, I got this thing ready. I need to go to the table to put some sour cream on there. And Violet's standing in the doorway like this. She's like, "What's the password?" I got my burrito, you know. I'm pretty hungry. I want to eat this thing and put sour cream in there. And so I kind of go along with it. She says, it's in heaven. I'm like, oh, this will be easy. It starts with a G. God. Nope. Gold. That's a pretty good guess. Nope. Grace. I'm starting to say stuff I'm pretty sure she doesn't know. Goodness. Gobstoppers. Those are in heaven, right? I finally gave up. I said, I do not know. She said, star. That's a good one. I don't think I would have ever got that. So I got the password, made it to the table, and it was all good. You know, Violet there, that was pretty funny. I loved that. Thank you for that, Violet. But you know, I think that that's how we are in life sometimes. And what I mean by that is, if somebody came to you and said, how are you doing? You'd say, I don't know. You know what I mean? That's how we are in life sometimes. Like, how's it going? I don't know. I can't even tell you what is happening in my life right now. Our life just has a way of flip-flopping almost from day to day sometimes. So that we're trying to navigate through life, and we just feel like a wave of the sea tossed to and fro, and we watch. Now, this is why this is important, because we want to have a consistent confidence in our life. But that's a frustrating thing that we deal with in our life sometimes, because we want it today. Like, you're at church, you're hearing from God, and you get to the end of the thing, and perhaps you come to the altar, and God stirred you up, and He's working in you. And so when you get to the end of the day, you might say something like, I want to do this for God. And that's great, and God worked in your heart. But then you wake up tomorrow, and you don't really care anymore. Or maybe you made it through Monday, but then you get to Tuesday, and then it's gone. And then it comes back, and then it's gone. And we're sort of like this pancake and waffle, and we're just like a wave, and we're tossed this way and that way, and we have a hard time being faithful to any one standard. I was thinking about this, you know, as it relates to raising our children by way of illustration. You know, I desire that my children would serve God. I desire that. And so there are things that the Lord works in my heart. I talked to Miss Melissa about it, and He works in our hearts about it. And so we have our mom and dad powwow kind of talks, not like arguments, but just, okay, we need to be on the same page, and we need to make sure that we're on the same wavelength, and we need to make these changes in our home, and we want to point our kids to God, and we want to do these kinds of things, you know. And then, like, we're really fired up about it, and then a couple of days later, it's just gone, you know. And then like a week after that, we're like, hey, why don't we do that? We talked about it, and then we didn't, you know. And then it's just sort of like up and down and up and down. It makes its way into our parenting, And it shows up in things like when our kids say, hey, can I go there? And I did talk about this last week, but I'm just going to touch on it because it illustrates this. Our kids say, hey, can I go there? And in our hearts we know, you shouldn't probably go there. Hey, can I do this? You probably shouldn't do that. I mean, in our hearts we know that. It's not good for them. Hey, so-and-so has this. My friend at school, he got one of these things, and Mom, you need to let me get one of you need to get me one of these things. And we start talking to our parents about this stuff, and in our hearts we're thinking, I don't know that that's good for kids to have one of those. Amen? Can I say that there's some stuff that kids probably shouldn't have? And kids have them. And then our kids come and they say, I want to have one of those too. And we're thinking, well, you know, kids have them, and is it a really a big deal? And so we waffle. Like one day we're like, no. Well, we don't say it mean like. Well, we do. You know, it's our kids, and we're just mean. But we're no. I'm the no guy anyway, by the way. One or both of you really needs to be the no guy. If you have a mom and dad who are both yes people, you're in big trouble. And you're like, well, that would be awesome, you know. So we say no, but then it seems like the next week we're saying yes. Note this. Watch this. We're saying yes to what we just last week said no to. And we're waffling. No, you can't watch that movie because it has these words in it. That's not a bad thing to say. But then like the next week, you're like, okay, we can watch it, you know. This is waffling back and forth. And it causes us to not have the ability to have the strength to be able to move forward. God wants us to move forward. He wants us to have victory. He wants us to move into the promised land, both in our lives and in our family. But to do that, we need to be on the same page about things. To be on the same page, we need to be looking at the same manual. We need to be looking at the same thing to give us our instructions. And that's what I think sometimes we battle with. And going through life, we hit these kinds of speed bumps where we waffle back and forth with what we should and shouldn't do. God's Word, when it's not our standard, we tend to follow our feelings in dealing with issues. If we feel like it today, then we're okay with it. If we don't feel like it tomorrow, then we won't. And that's how we'll deal with things if we don't let God's Word be our standard. I'm an Oklahoma Sooners fan. One of the Sooners has a video blog that he does, and he's a staunch Christian. I mean, he's a faithful Christian, so I love watching his little blog things because he talks about Christ. He shows the other players on the team, which if you're a football nerd like me, then I like watching that stuff, you know, so I can see the other player, see the locker room and all that kind of stuff and see how it happens. So he's going from player to player and he's talking to them about Jesus. It's awesome. He's a great guy. So they, as a team, they went to watch the new Spider-Man movie. And so he did this video, and it was all amped up, and they get there, and they all got their popcorn, and I was thinking, you know, and it was just kind of a neat thing to see. And he goes in, and the movie begins, and then next thing I know, he's in the lobby, thank you, and he said, I couldn't watch that movie, I had to go to the lobby, there was too much God's name in vain being used. I thought, wow, that a guy would leave in a movie in front of all of his buddies for that reason. And that's the testimony of somebody who's made a decision. But what makes anybody live like that? What makes anybody say, I have a standard? We don't just make our own standards. We don't have any kind of a standard just because that's what we feel like today. The pastor doesn't create the standards. It's God who does. I'm talking about the standards of what is right and wrong, what is sin and what isn't sin. I'm not talking about standards by way of just the way we operate in the services, you know, and some of the structure that we have in that way. I'm talking about sin and not sin. And what causes us to say no, what causes us to have confidence, what causes us to take these kinds of stands is having God's Word as our standard. Following God's law. It would keep Israel on the same page if they had God's law and they followed if they followed God's law. And so they needed this message. Nope, I love this phrase. Moses said to them, "You shall not be afraid of their fates." Look at verse 17. "You shall not respect persons in judgment, but you shall hear the small as well as the great." Then he said this, "You shall not be afraid of the face of man." You know why he said that? It's because when we start taking stands, note this, church, when we start taking stands and letting God be the one who determines what we do and what we don't do, then there will be some who don't like it like that. There will be some who will turn their faces against what God is leading us or leading to do. And so we need to remember that our decision cannot be to please people. Can't be. You can't make decisions. You can't make decisions because you're determined to patch things up. Because you want to just make things better. You want to keep the peace in a situation. Patching things together isn't what God wants. God wants us to take a stand on the standard that He has already predetermined. Now, note this. The other day, Grant had these ping pong paddles, and he bought this rod, was like this long, like 2 feet long, like a rod. I'm like, "What are you going to do with that?" I'm like, "Well, I think I was going to make it into a sword." I'm like, "Okay, well, that's cool." And then he had a better idea. He taped one of his ping pong paddles to the end of it. I'm like, "Okay, what are we going to do with this?" You know, he's like, "I want to play ping pong with it." So he made an attempt to play a ping pong game with his brother with a ping pong paddle at the end of a 2 foot long rod. And he came to the conclusion that, "I can't do that. This is too hard. I can't even hit the ball." So putting it together in patchwork doesn't work. Well, that's kind of how it is in our life too. When we decide that we're going to start trying to patch things together, trying to repair little things here and there by getting involved and saying little things and doing little things to try to keep things smooth things out, you know, we don't have to do that. We don't have to try to patch relationships together in life. We just need to stand on God's word. We don't have to be mean about it, but this is what's going to set us on the right path. And this is what's going to give us the unity that we need to move forward. It's not because we have this amazing ability of keeping things patched together. Do you know what the devil has the amazing ability to do? Is to put schisms and divisions in the church. He has an amazing ability to do that. But do you know what he doesn't have the ability to do? Is to put a division in a church that's standing on the Word of God together. He cannot divide us. He cannot divide us if we stand together on God's Word. So this evening, what we need is to let God work in us and stir in us that we might learn to go as God leads. That we might decide tonight that we would let Him be the source of our instructions. That we would let Him be the map that we use to navigate this life. Let God be the map that you use. Moving forward with confidence when we're on the same page with God. Raising your kids, you're going to have to stand against adversity, aren't you? So you need to be on the same page with God. On Tuesday morning, we had staff meeting, and Milo was in there, and Kara was in there. I think it might have been one of my favorite staff meetings of all time. Brother Chad wasn't there. That wasn't why. No, he was driving bus or something. But Mila was sitting there, and she had Mr. Cow. Where's Mila at? She in the nursery? Oh, she had Mr. Cow, and Mr. Cow and Mila and me, we had a conversation. It was a great conversation. And Kara was sitting on the other side on her mom's lap, and she was just like really into the conversation. She's like, everything Mr. Cow said, she was, wow, Mr. Cow is amazing, you know. And then Miss Cindy took one of her socks off, I think, or she took, yeah, anyway. And she, Miss Cindy put it on her finger, and now we had Mr. Cow and we had Mr. Sock. And so Mr. Cow and Mr. Sock and Miss Chelsea, well, you didn't get into it, but Kara and Myla and me and Miss Cindy, we were into it, weren't we? And you're too, it's all day for you, so you're like, you guys do it. So we had this conversation with Mr. Sock, and it was great. And then Kara, who's sitting on Miss Chelsea's lap, stuck her finger out to Miss Cindy and said, ugh! She wanted Mr. Sock put on her finger. And so Miss Cindy took Mr. Sock and put Mr. Sock on Kara's finger. And Kara lifted her finger and went, hi! It was great. Our kids are precious. Don't you love the giggles? Don't you love the giggles? Moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas, look at all these kids. The precious generation that we're raising. 81 people in church this morning. How are we going to do this? How are we going to do this? How are we going to grow? How are we going to reach more people? How are we going to keep these kids serving God? How are we going to do this? Well, we don't have to be afraid about the process. Here's what we need to do, is we need to just trust the Word of God and stay on the same page, because we're all together following God's Word. And when we do that, when you let God's Word determine what you do and what you don't do, when you need to make a decision, you'll seek God's Word about it. You won't follow your feelings. You won't do what seems best to me at this moment, in this day. This is what I feel like we need to do. Don't do that. Let's let God's Word lead us individually. Let's let God's Word lead our families. Let's let God's Word lead our church. And what we'll see is a church that has unity that the devil can't break apart. And we're going to move forward into the promised land. And there's nothing the devil can do about it, because we're going to win every victory. You know why? Because we have God. And the devil has already lost to Him. When Jesus said it is finished, He was talking to the devil. We could say it that way. He's finished. He lost. Because Jesus won. And in Christ we're victors. So yeah. We're going to win. We're going to win our life. We're going to win our kids. The church is going to move forward. And we're going to do this because we're all on the same page with God. Father, tonight we need to hear from You. We needed what I think we heard from Moses in Deuteronomy tonight. And what a precious thing we've been given with our children. Thinking about Violet tonight and Elisa and the boys, all the boys that You've given to us, and Myla and Kara and all these little ones that You've allowed us to minister to, and the laughing that we heard tonight. I pray that You'd help us to, as individuals, as families, and as a church, make sure that we're following You on the same page with You. And certainly with that, Lord, there'll be victory there, because there'll be unity, there'll be victory, because the victory is already won in Jesus. We thank You for Your blessing and Your grace, the power that works through Your Word. And Lord, tonight, if You have worked in someone's heart because they strayed away, would You bring them back to You tonight? Please, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.